Thank you for choosing to listen to our sermon podcast. My name is Chris Mitchell. I'm one of the pastors here at First Covenant Church of Anchorage. If you have any questions or prayer requests, feel free to stop by or send an email to office@anchoragefirstcovenant.com. God bless. I did not plan on, you know, making like this a service with lots of children stuff, but you know, God has his plans, and that was a beautiful prayer, Tonya. Thank you for that. But I do want to echo some of Tonya's things. We don't mind the kids here. We like the kids here. So we don't mind when they're fussy, you know, a little bit during the service. We don't mind if they get squirmy. That's how they learn how to be a part of us, okay? And so we all have to have an extra measure of grace for them, and we know that that's a good thing. It's a good thing that they're with us. It's a good thing that they're hearing the word, even if they don't understand it, because that's how they learn how to do this sort of thing. So we welcome the kids. You know, yeah, we do have the nursery and stuff. And that's more for parents that just get like, I am so embarrassed because people keep looking. And, you know, sometimes you need to change a baby or something like that. But don't feel like you have to go hide in there if you have a kid. We like people here. We like children here. It's kind of funny, because my opening story that I started with is about my children, because I have three kids myself, and when we get together, many of you know my children, my boys, and they can be a little wild, you know, three boys, you know, meals especially, they can get chaotic, and one child will try to tell me something, but that will make one of the other kids think of something, and so they'll interrupt so they can say the thing that they're thinking of, and then the other kid, that's, you know, the third kid will just be like, oh, hey, he was saying something, and then, you know, so then all three of them start fighting, and then the first kid will forget what they're saying, so they'll just go off on another wild tangent, and all the lines of thought can be really difficult to untangle sometimes, maybe impossible. And, you know, they get all that from their mother, not from me. I'm just kidding. The truth is my mind gets sometimes, it gets so tangled up with things ping-ponging around that I can scarcely get one thought out before the next comes to me, and, you know, and I'll mix things up, which is why I actually script out my sermons, because if this was all train of thought, you'd never be able to follow along. But this happens to a lot of people, right? We have a hard time sometimes containing our excitement for something, saying what we mean. Even great, big, wise people that we don't expect. Even big, important Bible people. Today we're going to be following the Apostle Paul as he kind of traces the rabbit's trail, right? He totally wanders off from his original point. And you'll see this right in the beginning of the passage today. So, let's pray before we dig into the Word. Holy Father, Lord, we thank you for that you call us your children, that you call us your children, that you love us, and that you've adopted us into your family, that you allow us to be your sons and daughters, Lord. And so we pray that as your children, we can learn from you, that we can learn to hear your voice, that we can learn to follow you, that we can learn to watch for you, that we can learn by imitating you. Teach us, O Lord, how to be your children. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, the first verse in Ephesians chapter 3 is kind of weird. And this is the first verse. Let's just read this. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. Now, this is weird because Paul is in the middle of a thought and he gets completely sidetracked. This verse is not a complete sentence. And it starts off really good, right? It says I love how he says, like, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus, because he wrote this while he was under arrest in Rome. He was a prisoner of the Roman Empire. But Paul just ignores all the physical circumstances of his arrest. It's like those Roman authorities aren't important. He says he's a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Instead of being bound by the authority of Rome, he considers himself bound by the authority of the kingdom of heaven. And he is bound because of his commitments to Gentile believers, to non-Jewish converts to Christianity. And this is a really cool idea to investigate. But unfortunately, Paul gets distracted. Right in the middle of the sentence, he starts talking about something totally different. Now let's read verses 1 through 5. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, which I have already written briefly. In reading this then, you will be able to understand my insights into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations. This has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Paul gets completely sidetracked by the mystery of Christ, right? He doesn't even finish his sentence. In verse 2, he lets the Ephesians know that he gets to participate in this mystery and the administration in the mystery. And it's not his mystery, but he gets to help administer it. He gets the grace of being able to spread it around. And it's kind of cool because it's like God lets him in on a secret, something that was not known. It was something that God kept to God's self. Now, it's clear that the plan was always to share the secret, but not until it's ready. And you know, my imagination just kind of goes wild with this. Like, God's keeping a secret? Like, you know, like, there's some little secret, like he's God's planning a little surprise party. He's like, no, I can't tell you until it's ready. But now, through the Holy Spirit, he has let the apostles and the prophets know the big secret. The mystery of Christ. That's what he calls it. The mystery of Christ. And Paul is so enamored with the mystery that it completely derailed what he was going to say. He gets so excited, he stops mid-sentence because he has to tell us about this mystery that he's been allowed to share with us. And what's the big mystery? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. The mystery is that God is for everyone, that all people are brought in together and share in the promise of Christ Jesus. And remember, Christ is a religious title. It's not like a name. It means Messiah. It means anointed one. And Jesus was the foretold anointed one, prophesied in Scripture, the promised leader of God's covenant with Israel. And Israel thought the Messiah was going to come and was going to be their savior, right? The one that came to save them from the Roman occupiers. The one that would restore their kingdom and lift up Israel as God's chosen people in the world. The eternal king from the line of David that would reign forever in truth. And Paul says, yeah, that's who he is. That's Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the promised king. Jesus is the son of David that would overthrow all the powers and empires that lay claim on Israel. Jesus is the true king of Israel. Not any of the Herods, whose dynastic line was ending. Not any of the Roman governors or generals that were put in charge of the Judean provinces. Not any of the Caesars who claimed to be the God rulers over the empire. But Jesus. Jesus is the king. But Paul doesn't stop there. The great mystery of Christ is that Jesus is not only king of the Israelites, but he is the king of all people, right? All the promises of the Messiah that the people of Israel had been dreaming about for hundreds of years. Yeah, that's all true. But it was more glorious than they could ever dare to believe, right? Jesus delivers all people. He is anointed for all people. He's the deliverer of all people. He is king of all people. Gentile believers no longer belong to the other powers and authorities and empires. Instead, God, through Jesus Christ, brings all people, both Jews and Gentiles, to make a new people together. The Jews were not getting delivered from the Gentile powers. Instead, they were getting delivered with the Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles were both getting delivered. They're both made to inherit the promises of Israel. And that is the mystery of Christ. That was the great mystery. Christ's love was bigger than they previously imagined. And that's the idea that Paul, in mid-sentence, has to stop and just marvel at. Right? Because all this time, Israel thought that they're going to be delivered from those people. Right? Those other people were just going to get what's coming to them. God is going to kick their booties off, off the promised land, let everyone know that this is his special people, this is his special place. And this is what Gentile believers would hear over and over again as they came to the temple. Israel's God's chosen. Israel's God's chosen. Israel's God's chosen people. God's promised to love Israel forever. God's going to save Israel from those awful people. That's the message that they all heard. And it's completely baffling. It's almost like if parents, if a parent invited, if your parents invited the kids that were bullying you over and said, hey, these are your stepbrothers and sisters. They're going to be part of the family now too. It turns out that Jesus loves those awful people. Jesus wants to save them too. Jesus is their Messiah too. Jesus is their King too. And I know it feels like I'm belaboring this point. But think about it. Out of all the things in Scripture, this is what's called the mystery of Christ. Right? This is the secret of the Savior. Right? This is the hidden heart of God. That God wants to save it all. God wants every one of us to have an opportunity to know Him. God wants all of us to belong. God's heart is that all people be His people. And that's just something I can't get over. It makes me swoon, right? I'm just thinking about that. Man, that through His sacrifice that we all are invited to become a chosen people, right? We all get to be invited into the royal priesthood. We all get to be part of a holy nation, right? We are all God's chosen possession, right? To declare praises of Him who called us out of darkness, all of us, into His wonderful light. That once we were not a people, right? But now we're people of God. That once we have not received mercy, but now we receive mercy. All of us. All of us. All of us can belong. And Paul said this used to be secret knowledge. This used to be a secret knowledge. But God has revealed to the prophets and the apostles that it's time for this knowledge to be made known. And other faiths at the time, other holy men and women, other sorcerers and magicians, because I've talked about that too, how Ephesus was kind of a center, religious center, and a center for magic in the region. So they like to hold on to their mysteries, right? Mysteries are for the select. After all, knowledge is power, right? So why would you want to share that power with everyone? Even now, there's faiths that don't reveal all they believe to everyone, right? You have to be initiated into the mysteries. You have to prove that you're faithful through certain acts of obedience or payment of money or completion of rituals and vows of secrecy. But that's not the way of Christ, right? The mystery of Christ is revealed. It is meant to be revealed. It is meant to be open and offered to everyone. It is meant to be shared because the Christian faith is not a mystery cult. Right? There are no higher levels of faith. We don't have secret scripture. We don't. Our holy texts are open to everyone. Yeah, and of course you can learn the original languages and you can study context and history. Like, I mean, I did that. So I know lots of us have done that. But that doesn't give us any more spiritual authority. I mean, it can help give some insight. It can maybe help you understand a few things. It might help you teach scripture to other people. But it doesn't make you more spiritual. It's Christ that makes us spiritual. The scripture's open to everyone. And yes, some people do have the benefits of years of wisdom, of hard-earned wisdom. And, you know, we honor that and we trust that, right? We do have elders among us that we look up to. But it's only because they've lived longer. It's not because they've been initiated into higher levels of the mysteries. There's no higher spiritual rank. All are equal under the cross. And if anyone tries to use any spiritual authority to claim any special privilege or rank, or claims any saving knowledge that's not been revealed in Scripture, you know that person is a liar. Okay, you just know that person's a liar because they're not teaching the same Christ. Christ has been revealed. Right? Christ has revealed His Scripture as truth to everyone, to all peoples. All right, I'm going to go over these next two verses, or three verses, verses 7 through 9. I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of His power. Although I am less than least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me. to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, for which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Paul calls himself the least of all God's people. You know, he humbles himself like and as if in awe that God is using him to share this with everyone. But notice, he doesn't say, oh, God gave me this special revelation, now I am higher rank. No, I'm the lowest. I'm the lowest. God's just using me to do what God's doing. It's God that's doing everything. I'm the least. This is actually a grace that I get to do this. This is a grace I get to share. Right? That's how big this mystery is. It changes everything. It changes everything, but it's made open to everyone. Okay? It changes everything the Jews knew about themselves. It changed everything the Gentiles thought they knew about themselves. It changes the way that we interpret and read the Old Testament. Because now we know, like, oh, wait, those promises? They're not just for Israel. They're for us. They're for his people. And we've been made his people. And then we can see the hints. We can see in Scripture as we read through the Old Testament, we can see, like, oh, wait, God was calling us here. God was calling us here. God was calling us here. Huh. Yeah, I guess he always did say that was going to happen. He always said that we were going to be made as people. We just didn't have eyes to see, but now we do. The secret's revealed. The mystery of Christ is made available to all of us. All right, I'm going to finish this up. Verses 10 through 13. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authority in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through him, through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. God's will is that this glorious mystery be declared to every ruler and authority. All the heavens need to know what Christ has accomplished, and that we can all be called sons and daughters of God. And what declares this to every hostile power? We do. We do. The church does. The church stands as the testimony of God to the authority and rulers in the heavenly realms. This broken, multifaceted gathering of people from every tribe and nation, with all of our imperfections, with our history of failures and inadequacies, this is what God uses to declare his perfect purposes, right, to all the authorities and rulers in heaven. And to be clear, it isn't what the church says, because let's face it, the church says lots of things, and some of them aren't that great. But it's what the church is. The church is a mosaic of broken peoples brought together to be God's testimony. And at its best, we're a people of love, right? A people dedicated to helping and serving one another, despite differences of tribe, despite ancient hostilities, despite differences of opinion, despite background. In the ancient world, the love of Christians were widely known, right? The love of Christians for one another and for others was so known that the Roman Emperor Julian, like just an angry opponent of Christianity, he wrote to one of his pagan high priests, "It is disgraceful that when no Jew has ever had to beg, the impious Galileans, for Christians, support not only their own poor, but ours as well. All men see that our people lack aid from us." Okay, the church stands as a testimony of the goodness of God for all people. After all, it's supposed to be the place for the outcast of the unloved. Right, that's what we're supposed to be. It's supposed to be a place where widows come to get their fair share of the food, right? Despite ethnic differences, and we read about that in Acts, right? Like there's some problems, but they all come. It's a place where we're all called to support the orphans and the widows, right? Those most vulnerable in society. Where we're taught that love is not pretty words, but self-sacrificial actions. The church is supposed to be a people that can come and confess the worst things about themselves and still receive grace and mercy without judgment. The church is supposed to be a place where peoples of all nations and ethnic groups come together and worship the Lord in truth, justice, and love. And we do not always get it right. I would say maybe even sometimes we mostly do not get it right. Let's face it, sometimes we are a poor testimony of the goodness of God. But, who else is like the church? Who else is like the church? Who else does this? Who else for thousands of years have tried to live into these truths? Right? So, it's not those failed moments, it's the long testimony, right? The testimony, the church is the testimony, the story of what God's doing in Christ Jesus in creation. And that plan is always meant to include us. It's always meant to include you, right? Because Paul goes out of his way to let the Ephesians know, to let all people know that Christ has meant to include him in their plans, in his plans, right? The Ephesians were not God's backup plan, right? They were not God's backup plan. They were part of his manifold wisdom and eternal purpose. And you're not God's backup plan. You are part of his wisdom and his eternal purpose. You are not an afterthought to God's plans. You're not plan B. You're not his second choice or his third choice or his fourth choice, right? You're always meant to be here. You're always meant to be into it. God's always invited you in. God's always wanted you to be part of what he was doing. That's the great mystery of Christ. The great mystery of Christ is that he's always meant to choose us. He's always meant to invite us in. Right? Not just you, but all of us, to show the world his glory, to declare the purposes of God. And this is what distracted Paul, that he couldn't even complete his sentence. Right? He's like, I just gotta let you guys know this. I gotta let you tell them know this one more time. And you know what? Everything he said, he just said in the last chapter two. And he's gonna end up saying it again, because he can't get over this thing. This is the mystery of Christ. This is what we're preaching over and over and over again. That you've been chosen. You've been chosen to declare that God is good, that God's always loved us, that God's always wanted us, that God's always wanted to bring people in that never felt like they had a place. They're always part of God's plan. So, let's pray. Lord, teach us to live as your holy people, Lord, as people that are brought together from all different backgrounds, Lord, that come from all different stories, that have people that have known you for years and are the product of faithful parents and grandparents that have known you, and people that just stumbled into you, Lord. But you invite us all, that you welcome us all, and you say, yes, there's a place for you here. My promises are for you too. You are wanted, you belong here. And Lord, teach us how to live into that. Teach us how to accept one another. Teach us how to serve one another. Teach us how to love one another. Teach us how to love those in the world. Teach us to celebrate when those who are different from us come to faith. When those who are different from us claim your name. Teach us how to be your people and to live into the testimony that you're writing across the heavens, that you're declaring to every power and authority. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.